Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Never Give Up show. It is the 74th show live, back on tonight live. Really excited, great topic, great guests. I am Bailey Smith, your host. February is Teen Violence, Dating and Violence Awareness Month. And I don't see enough happening, talking about it on social media. So I decided we must do a show. And really excited that we got some really brave girls to come on tonight. Young girls to talk about their relationship, past relationships, current relationships. My friend Judy is here tonight to co-host kind of with me. So welcome. Our call-in number is 563-999-3044, 563-999-3044. Please call in and join us, or you can click on the link wherever I posted the show and listen live. The show is also uploaded to Buzzsprouts, which is you can get off my website, thenevergiveupshow.com, and all the platforms that the show is on, or blogtalkradio.com/thenevergiveupshow. So we have Danny, Michelle, and Nicole. All names have been changed for privacy reasons. And I'm going to read a little teeny bios from them. So let's start with Nicole. She says, I have been in serious relationships before. My first boyfriend and I started dating sophomore year of high school. We dated for about 6 months and we broke up because he told me little lies all the time, which bothered me and always upset me. My next relationship after that started at the end of my junior year of high school. We dated for a little over a year overall. I would say this relationship was healthy. We'd never argued once. I broke up with him because I lost interest. I'm currently in a relationship now. We have been dating since August. That is Nicole. Michelle. Okay. I have been in two relationships. One when I was in eighth grade to my freshman year, and one for my senior year to my first semester of college. My first one was very toxic, filled with constant arguments about what I wore, who I was hanging out with, even if I would accidentally fall asleep without saying goodnight. We broke up due to those issues. My second relationship had more of the same, issues. It especially escalated when I went to college, and we broke up due to the lack of trust I had for him and over an ex-girlfriend, as well as other things I found on his phone. We are still friends and are trying to navigate what our friendship means. Very mature. And Danny, who I happen to know pretty well, Danny comes from a broken, abusive home, and knows very well what unhealthiness is. Unfortunately, she's stuck living in it until she is able to leave home. She is only 18, but she is in college, and I'm very proud of her. She's come a long way. And, you know, this is one of the things I want to really delve into at some point tonight is, you know, the cycle of abuse, coming from a home where there's a lot of abuse and then reliving it through your relationships. You know, this is one of the reasons why education is so important. I always say awareness, prevention, education will help avoid these hurtful, toxic relationships. So I'm going to give out our number again, 563-999-3044. I'm going to bring everybody on. Welcome, Danny, Michelle, and Nicole, and Judy. I'm going to unmute you. So, girls, thank you for coming on tonight. I'm really excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That's Danny, by the way. Have your other friends introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Nicole. Pardon.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, I'm for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Are you guys all in the sorority together?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So what? I know Danny's 18. What are your ages, if you don't mind?
I'm 18. And I'm also 18.
And you're already in your second year of college?
Me and Michelle are both freshmen. I'm also a freshman, but
I started
early.
Okay. Right, yes. My Miss Smarty Pants over there. So, who wants to go first and share more in depth about your stories that I mentioned?
I will go first. I'm Danny,
who's
by
that?
The way. So,
okay.
Along. I actually have been in two relationships in the past, both unhealthy and healthy in their own ways. My first relationship was when I was 15 years old. I dated a guy who was much older than me. He was 19, but we did go to high school together. He was held back a year, hence he was a senior when I was a sophomore. But we knew each other from school and mutual friends, and we actually ended up working together for a while. I found out later on lots of horrible things about him, but at first everything seemed nice and dandy, as most of these relationships do. And I found out later on that he was actually dating a girl when him and I started talking. I found this out through, I actually had a class with this girl, and her and I started talking, and we became friends. And after he told me who she was, I was terrified to go to class because she didn't know that I was the girl that he cheated on her with. He just knew that there was a girl, and she didn't know that it was me. After a while, the relationship sort of fizzled out because of lack of trust and lots of other issues. He was talking to other girls simultaneously, and I basically broke it off. And then I started dating Bailey's son. I was 16 years old when I was dating him, and we dated for, I believe, 8 or 9 months. And for a while it went okay. I actually rejected him a lot in the beginning, But I ended up falling in love with him, and we were really good friends, but ultimately it ended up in, like, a mutual breakup for a lot of reasons. I just think that at that age, boys tend to be more immature than girls, and considering that we weren't very we were very close in age, it just fizzled out in its own way, and we still talk to this day. We don't have any hard feelings or anything, and I think it just was healthier for us to be apart. So, yeah.
Right. And I love this girl. So, and I had mentioned that Danny comes from an abusive home. Do you want to talk about that a little bit and how it relates to your, or should we go to your friends first and we can go back to that?
However you'd like.
Okay, so why don't you bring Michelle forward?
Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. All right, so I'm going to begin with I'm going to begin with my first relationship. It was officially from like eighth grade, the beginning of it, to the end of freshman year, but we were talking on and off until my junior year about. So it was very long and drawn out, but during the relationship, it was constant. Like, I couldn't hang out with my friends or any boys, not even, like, guy friends. Even my mom's best friends, like, it's like a brother to me. It's not my biological brother, but my brother to me. I couldn't even be in the same house as him without it being an issue. So that was always kind of an issue, and I always had issues with what I wore. I couldn't wear tight leggings or tight shirts, anything that would show off my body.
And how old was this guy?
At the time, he was 15 and then 16.
And you were the same age?
I was, yes, ma'am.
Okay, go on.
Yes, ma'am. So it was just kind of issues like that, and it was just kind of like, thing where I was so young and I really didn't know how, like, what real love was. So I just assumed, like, that's how it's supposed to be. So that kind of carried with me for a very long time, and it was just very difficult. And then I finally pulled myself out of it and said that I can't continue on with this because it's just breaking me mentally. And then my second relationship, it was a little bit more, like, of the serious aspect just because we were older. We had cars. We could go to each other's houses, see each other more often. I experienced most of the same issues, but before we started dating, we established we were exclusive for 6 months before we started dating, and we said there was nobody for each other. And I did find out on New Year's that boyfriend had kissed his ex-girlfriend, who I had previously had issues with, and he promised me, he said, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with her. Like, I have no feelings towards her, but they did end up making out on New Year's, which I found out way later, which is not fun. But that kind of created a big trust barrier between us, and I was really never the same after. And I just kind of had the same issues that my previous boyfriend had, that me and my previous boyfriend had had.
Wow.
And yeah, we are.
Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go on. No, I thought you stopped.
Oh,
go on.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So, just because he was in my life for so long, it's very hard to just let go immediately. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to figure out some type of friendship and like what that means for each other and how we kind of go about that. And it's very difficult, but we're trying to manage it somehow. Now I'm done.
So do you come from a healthy home to loving parents?
Yes.
Yes. So you've never seen unhealthiness in your parents' relationship?
Not particularly. There's been some, like, arguments, but there's never been, like, any, like, violence or verbal abuse.
They're good parents. They love you. They do everything that you need. You know, Judy, take notes. I want to go back to that as to why she was attracted to these kind of guys.
Okay.
And, you know, that's a big, you know, a big issue because you know, they started dating at such a young, at 15, I think I was still playing with dolls. You know, I was boy crazy and I was a tomboy, but I never, you know, I probably still thought you went to the bathroom and a baby came out. I don't know. That's how naive I was at 15. Probably at 16 things changed. But so let's get to Nicole.
Hi. So
hi.
I'm gonna start with, actually I didn't mention this before, but in eighth grade that was my first boyfriend. We only dated for 8 months, actually. On and off, kind of very middle school relationship into freshman year, so I don't really count it like that. But everything was fine. It was just you're young, dumb, immature, so that didn't really work out. You know, we ended up mutually. And then after that, and the end of freshman year, summer, going into sophomore year, I had my first real boyfriend. We met through our mutual friends, and he was the one who took my virginity. We were very strong. We dated for about 6 months, but then towards the end of the relationship, we just got a little too comfortable with each other, and he would just like little lies, like stupid stuff, like, oh, did you ask your mom if you can come over? Yeah, I did. And he did, and then, you know, never ended up seeing each other at all. I broke up with him because of that. I couldn't do it anymore. But after that, throughout the 2-3 years after we broke up, we've hooked up a couple times after my next relationship, actually, so he was involved with that too. But after that, I had my next relationship, which was my best and strongest relationship. We dated for over a year in total. We broke up about 6 months in due to I kind of lost that attraction to him, but we never fought at all. And then we got back together because I really missed him. And then another 6 months went by and I was just still feeling the same way. I was just kind of trying to stick it out because I honestly thought we were soulmates. And then, I think we're on good terms now. We've had a conversation when I moved to college, but we've never had any arguments, never got into any disagreements about anything really. So I think that was probably that was my perfect relationship. And then that ended almost a year ago. And now I'm dating my current boyfriend, who's a senior in high school. I'm a freshman in college. So that's a little bit different with seeing each other. But we make it work, and it's going pretty good.
That's great. So you see the difference. You notice the difference in what's healthy and what's not healthy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And did you grow up in a healthy home with two loving parents, or you know, in a situation where? So there's no violence, no fighting, no unhealthiness.
No, I'm very fortunate to have parents. I've never experienced them fighting really at all.
That's great. So. Well, it's not bad parents fight, but there's healthy fighting and there's unhealthy fighting. So going back to, you know, Judy, what was the thing I wanted – it slipped my mind. That's why I told you to take notes. What was it that we wanted to go back to?
We wanted to go back and talk to about the boundaries, and maybe some of that comes from things either witnessed in home life or people around them, you know, any type of dysfunctional, you know, domestic, whether it was verbal or physical. It might not even necessarily have been in the family. It might have been even something they saw in a good friend's family or just a neighbor, or sometimes it's not an immediate thing.
Right. So Danny, you were very young and you were dating an older guy. Do you think that has to do with not having a normal, healthy relationship with your father? Were you looking for more of like a somebody? I mean, it's 15 and 19. I mean, first of all, that's illegal. But, you know, were you looking for somebody like an older brother figure? Is that what attracted him?
When I started dating him, I was at a very low point in my life. Like, my mother was very sick. She was away getting treatment. And I started having severe panic attacks and anxiety. And I was working at the place where him and I met. And he kind of eased my anxiety in a lot of ways. And I guess that's what sort of attracted me to him, is because I figured, if there's someone in my life who could do this, maybe, just maybe, it'll be easier. And so I don't think that I was always very mature for my age, even at 15 mm-hmm. years old. Like, I was very mature. He, on the other hand, was not as mature as I was. He himself mm-hmm. also went through a lot of hardships in his life. So mm-hmm. he definitely had experiences and maturity through, he would not act like a mature individual. So in a way, it kind of felt like I was with somebody my own age. Age didn't really feel like anything at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, when my parents found out about it, they were not happy about it. I was in a lot of trouble.
I'm sure they were not.
And I had to break it off, because it just, obviously, they were not going to let it work. By any means.
I don't know how you hid that from them.
Oh, I hid it for them for a while, actually. I was able to. But see, a lot of that also comes from my own parents' relationship. Like, they don't have mm-hmm. the healthiest relationship to begin with. Honestly, at this point, they've been married for 21 years, but I truthfully think it's because they're used to each other more than anything.
Yep, your
and
mom is codependent.
They also have known each other since they were very young. They met when they were about 19 and 20 years old. So they kind of lived most of their lives together at this point. And that's pretty much all they know. So I didn't have the healthiest relationship with my father growing up. And I just kind of didn't know what to expect in a healthy relationship, because what was being displayed to me wasn't necessarily the best environment. And I figured I could kind of experiment and figure it out on my own. And obviously it ended in not so greatest way, but I guess I'm grateful for it, because it had to happen in order for me to learn and understand.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And, I know that Dani gets help, and she's come so far since I know her. How long do I know you?
A while.
Like 2 years?
Two and a half years? Something like that, yeah.
Even after her and my son broke up, I've stayed in touch. Like, her and I had a relationship. He was always jealous. You like her more than you like me.
he still tells me to this day that I'm the daughter I've ever had. So I think it's really funny.
Yes, that's true. That is true. It's very true. And I think Dani's a great, great, great girl. I'm sure your friends are amazing girls. Anything you want to add, Judy? Before we delve into...
I give them so much credit. I'm sitting here going, you know, it took a lot, and I really appreciate them.
Yeah.
And Judy has her own teenage daughter,
right? She's teenage? Yeah, she's still in high school.
My 19-year-old, because, you know, I come from a background of... domestics, and so she witnessed it. So she had two serious things happen. She had an abusive relationship with a guy that it came down to almost well, she could have filed a restraining order, but she was too scared to do it. And then he wound up moving because he was afraid. And then in college, we're in Jersey. She got her nose broken by somebody in the dorm because they were all partying and she was in this room and she said that she wanted to leave. And she wound up getting, and so these are, nobody wanted to talk about it because of the sorority and, you know, all these good girls, and they're afraid if they said anything, you know, it would ruin their reputation. So, I mean, it's just, to me, it's kind of sad that, you know, teens especially are really afraid to speak up and are afraid to say when they've been violated or their boundaries have been seriously violated.
Right. So I printed out some stuff from Teens Health, and it says abuse, what you need to know. So abuse is when someone hurts or causes you emotional stress or to someone else. Abuse can affect anyone. It can happen to any kind of relationship, a friendship, a romantic relationship, among family members. Abuse can happen in many ways, hate crimes directed at people because of their race, religion, abilities, gender, sexual orientation. Those are all factors of abuse. There are other types of abuse. Physical, sexual, emotional are some of the most known types of abuse. I don't have to really get too much into what physical is or sexual is, or emotional we know is verbal, mental, you know, when they try to get you, when basically toxicity, when they try to control you. One of you were saying, I think it was Michelle or Nicole, one of you were saying how your boyfriend didn't like what you were wearing. I mean, hello, you're 15, 16 years old. Like, who does he think he is? Telling you what to wear. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's called control. No one other than your parents, when you're under 18, well, you're all over 18 now, but, you know, should be, especially not a boyfriend, should be telling you how to dress or what to wear.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
know that that's not okay, right?
Yeah, now I know.
Now you know. Okay.
Oh, yes.
It's mind-boggling to me. I don't have daughters. I have 3 sons. But it's very mind-boggling to me that at 15, like, my boys were so, like, I think they were so sheltered, you know, like, they would never tell a girl what to wear at that age. I mean, the only one that was around girls was my middle son because he was in public school. But the other ones were in private school, an all-boys school, and they, I mean, would never ever think, you know, to control a girl that way. You know that it comes from an insecurity, and it's something within them, within on them, when it comes to those kind of behaviors, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Did he come from an unhealthy home?
Yes. Very much so.
Yes. Very much so. And I'm sure he never got proper help.
No, I know. I've talked to him recently, and it's we reconnected, and he seems a lot better now. But I think he also, like, it comes with age as well, that he knows that it wasn't a good place to be in.
Right, but you witness, you know, a lot of behaviors that we have. It's what we see in our home. So if we're not healthy people, it's going to manifest in some way or another. So whether something has happened to us, whether we were abused by our the people that are supposed to be taking care of us, or we witness abuse, or unfortunately, God forbid, we're sexually abused, then we're going to have a trauma.
Yeah.
And that causes us to have, but at that age, I would probably say guys become so possessive because this is what they're seeing, or they're very, there's an insecurity, but why? You're not born insecure, right? You're not born controlling, you know? There are very few people that are born scientifically, like, I don't believe any child, anybody's born bad, but there is studies, and I think it's probably because the mother was doing drugs or something.
Right.
And that's why there was tendencies. They were born with those tendencies. There are genetics, but if you're raised in a healthy, loving, caring environment, whether your parents get divorced or not, but they both are very loving and they join forces to parent you, then you shouldn't have any issues. You know, issues arise from your unhealthy surroundings, things we see, things we hear. So anyway, there's also another form of abuse, which is online abuse, which happens emotional or sexual abuse that happens in the virtual world, which we all know is a form of bullying, or cyber stalking or cyber harassment. Any of you ever experienced?
So the guy that I dated, the older one, I blocked him from everything, ultimately, at the end. That's just kind of how everything ended. I blocked him, and that was it. And a few months later, I remember what happened? Sorry. I remember getting a message from this random number, and I was like, okay, this is odd. Like, I'm not expecting a message or a call or anything from anybody. And so...
and tell so the girls to behave.
Sorry. This guy was like, oh, well, I changed my phone number, and, like, I really would like to see you, and whatever, whatever. And I was like... Like, excuse me, like, I haven't spoken to you in months. I am dating somebody else. I do not have any interest in seeing you, meeting up with you, or anything.
Why did he change his phone number?
I have no idea. I have no idea why he changed his number, but he changed his phone number, and he tried to use that as leverage to basically, like, at first he acted as, like, a stranger, and then he, like, told me who he was. But it was very, like, scary because... You figure, like, once you decide to cut off contact, that it's a choice that ultimately you can make, which it kind of shows you that you don't even have control over that because they could still find ways to get in contact with you, which is not the greatest thing. So that's also another issue that comes with technology in today's dating world.
Trust me, I know all about it. let your friends read my book, Danielle. Danny.
I'll tell them about it.
Also when online sexual abuse, when someone is asked to share inappropriate pictures, this is very dangerous. Have any of you ever experienced being asked to send inappropriate pictures or know anybody that did these kind of things?
Yeah, all of us, basically.
Have you done it? Have you sent inappropriate pictures?
I personally haven't. I personally haven't.
Because it's when you're when you're under how old, Judy? 18 or 16?
Oh, no. Well, my one that I was talking about in college, she's going to be 20.
No, but I'm saying the inappropriate pictures. What age is considered? Is it 18? Under 18? Yeah.
Anything under 18.
So if a girl sends inappropriate pictures and she's under 18 to somebody older, is it just somebody older?
Yeah.
It's considered pornography.
But I will tell
right?
you, that it's definitely a crime, but it still can be criminal if it's, you know, still, like, say if a 17-year-old girl sends or pictures go back and forth and it's used inappropriately, it still can be considered pornography and criminal.
The same age?
Yeah.
He has to be older than 18 or older.
Yeah, but 18 is where it's a true crime.
Wow. Yeah, that's very dangerous. And unfortunately, you know, if you're dating an unhealthy person who has you manipulated and controlled mentally, emotionally, you may do those kind of things for him to make him happy. You know, there are so many stories, and I'm sure you guys have heard, you're in college, of girls that were bullied like that, whether it was pictures or whether it was just being bullied, and they ended up committing suicide. Right?
Yeah.
Have you heard these
kind
of stories?
I think a lot of it has to do with the boys. They tend to ask for those more than the girls, we find,
mm-hmm.
nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely
they, don't
right
realize, they don't realize the effects it has, not only even if they don't send it, like what it does to a girl when a guy asks for those kinds of things. It just makes us think about a lot of things. Like, do we look like we're asking for it in public? For them to be okay and comfortable
right.
to ask that sort of question, it's just like, it makes us think, like a lot goes through our mind.
Even at
That's
15?
That's a very good point.
Even
yeah.
at 15?
These guys are just ruthless. They'll ask anybody. Like, they really don't care.
See, yeah,
they think,
like
oh,
I said, I was very naive.
The way they try to get you to do it is, like, they tell you, like, oh, you're beautiful or, oh, you're mature. Or they just, like, groom you
right.
into doing it.
Right.
It just,
right.
situation, it just never ends well, so.
Well, you know, I found out, and I don't know, like, you know, I'm from Jersey. I did find out that it's almost, which is really frightening to me, it's almost normal or, like, not even viewed to be that bad to send nudes to each other. Like, and I don't know, you know, are you guys all from Florida?
Yeah, they all live in Florida.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that my kids say, oh, we sent nudes, but when I've heard certain things, I'm like, I can't believe that so-and-so, she seems like such a nice girl, is sending nudes. And I've gotten feedback from my daughter, like, Mom, really everybody does it. And I looked at her like, hard. She's like,
you
I
never know who's getting one. Once it's out there in the air, anybody can get a hold of it.
And it goes around to everybody. There was a story in a couple of years ago in my town where this girl sent something on Snapchat and they screenshotted it and everybody got shared everywhere. And here we are a couple of years later and people are still talking about it. It could, like, ruin somebody's life.
Well, I'll share this because I think I write about it in my book. I would never have taken pictures like that. But being married to a man for 20, I was married to him, I don't know how long at the time, maybe it's 18 years, 17 years or whatever, 18 years, he'd always ask me to allow him to take pictures. And I'd be no, absolutely not. And then he's like, I'm your husband. And I just never wanted to do it. And then he's like, finally we were married, 17 years, and I finally I caved. He's like, wouldn't you rather me use your pictures when I want to, whatever, versus looking at porn? He really manipulated me, and I allowed him to take pictures. Of course, they were headless, but he used them in my post-separation after 21 years together, and he put them all over the internet. And you would think that's very sick, considering I'm the mom of his kids. And that is a crime, by the way. It is a crime. And unfortunately, nothing was ever done. I gave them to the police, and somebody that knew me and knew my brother put two and two together, because he saw those pictures, because they also had headshots, and saw those pictures on some site that was out there. And he had been looking at that site because somebody had hacked his phone or his computer, where he had very private pictures of him and his wife. So he would always check the site and get them taken down, and then they would go back up. And then he saw my stuff on there, and he recognized my face. And he reached out to me through social media and messaging. And he said, I know you because my wife and your sister-in-law are friends on social media, and I recognize your face and just want to let you know what's out there. And he told me where to look, and I was freaking out. It ended up all getting taken down, but I had a lot of stuff like that done to me from the man I had been married to for 21 years. So, this kind of stuff, I never, ever... In my entire life, I grew up very sheltered. I always went to very private religious schools. Never would I have ever done anything like that. But this was the man I was married to, So it can happen to anyone at any age, in any situation. So I'm glad that you girls know it's not the norm, even if it's a husband for a very long-term boyfriend, or it's a fiancé, don't do it.
No.
And,
I would say, From my experience, I guess a lot of the whole nude sending thing happened a lot to a lot of people that I know in middle school or, early high school, but I haven't really heard of anything, people sending it or getting online after that point. But I think it's crazy that even, your husband, you would say, would do something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's especially kind of traumatic when somebody sends you something that, you don't even ask for, especially when it's something you know or you trusted, which has actually happened to me pretty recently.
Well, if you know who's doing it, you can prove it, you can file a police report.
Yeah.
You know that, right? Always keep a paper trail. that I can tell you. Another form of abuse is bullying. We know someone who uses through scaring threats or teasing that can be just as abusive as beating someone up. People who bully others may have been abused themselves. So bullying, we're not born bullies. We become bullies. I always say, and you guys have been in public school, so you can probably, I don't know how you feel about this, but I always say, you know, kids that, boys, because there have not been any stories of girls, that have used, come to school and used a gun and shot up the school, I have empathy for them because they probably, majority of them, come from very unhealthy environments, very broken homes. They're neglected. They're bullied at school. Now, what they do is obviously very, very bad. I'm not excusing their behaviors. I mean, going and shooting up a school. But they're obviously mentally not well. You know, in Parkland, you know, that kid happened to have begged them, the Board of Ed, the school district, to have let him go back to the special ed school that he was in. He did not want to stay there, and nobody listened to his cries. And I think that a lot of the blame falls on the adults in that case, in his situation, that they are responsible. You know, he didn't have normal home life. You know, sometimes school is a safe haven, should be a safe haven for some kids, or is a safe haven for some kids. And then they go to school and they have to deal with all this horrific bullying, and they, you know, obviously you're not well if you can go and shoot people, but there has to be some sort of other accountability in situations like that. There's always a story behind it. So anyway, so let's go on to recognizing abuse. So recognizing abuse can be hard for someone who has lived with it for many years, or is being abused by someone they know or trust. People might mistakenly think that it's their fault for not doing what their parents tell them, breaking rules, or not living up to someone's expectations. So if you grew up in a family where there's violence or abuse, it can make someone think that that's the way or the only way for family members to treat each other. And a lot of those kind of kids will be very isolated. They won't have friends. They won't bring people to their home. So they only know what they know at home, which is very scary. Somebody who has only known an abusive relationship might think that hitting, beating, pushing, shoving, or angry name-calling are normal ways to treat someone when you're mad. You know, seeing parents treat each other in abusive ways might lead kids to think that that's okay in relationships, but abuse is not a typical or healthy way to treat people. And then, if you're not sure if you're being abused or if you suspect a friend is, it's always okay to ask a trusted adult or friend. So, you know, always find a confidant. You know, I would like to think that, you know, I'm there for Dani whenever she needs to talk. I've always told her I would listen. I would be there for her. And I would hope that, you know, our listeners out there, our teenagers, our young adults, you find a safe person to go to speak to get help. It's okay to get help. Everybody should have help. I have a therapist for 6.5 years, and Danny knows that in my house, in order to live here, you have to be in therapy. That's my rule. Until you move out, until I'm not supporting you. And my kids are not babies. My youngest is 18 and 23 and 25. And everybody's getting help. Unfortunately, my kids witnessed a lot of abuse. And I am trying to change those, you know, I don't want them to have those behaviors. Unfortunately, they witnessed it not as babies. So we want them to have healthy adult I want them to have healthy adult lives and lead productive, healthy lives with partners. So anyway, anybody want to say anything before I continue? Because this stuff is interesting, but I'd love to hear more of what you guys have to say.
Yeah, I guess we mutually agreed that we kind of wanted to bring up like toxic dating culture in college. Because
okay.
Even for our short amount of time here, like there's a lot we noticed that is just kind of like normalized, which shouldn't be.
Okay. So give us examples.
Sorry, say that again.
Give us some examples, like of what you're seeing, what you know, and. I'm assuming you all recognize what is unhealthy from growing older, learning from your experiences and witnessing either unhealthiness and knowing that it's not okay, or seeing healthiness and knowing that and then recognizing what's not okay. So, am I right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so we definitely notice it, but it doesn't mean that it's not going on still.
Right. I'm talking about for the three of you. The three of you. You guys.
Yeah.
Danny, you recognize what's unhealthy because you have lived with unhealthiness. So you know in relationships what's unhealthy. These girls know what's unhealthy because they know they live with healthiness, and they're witnessing the unhealthy, right? But not everybody, not everybody are the three of you. So you're seeing a lot of toxicity in behaviors and in relationships, in college, in the college life. So give us examples of what you're seeing. You're saying it's almost like it's become the norm.
Yeah, so I'd say that in college, a lot of the times, people kind of dabble with dating apps and that sort of thing. And it sort of normalizes this meeting people online and kind of just talking to them and, I don't know, in a way confiding with them because they also kind of aren't in your real world. They're only in this, like, virtual world unless
right.
you decide to make
mm-hmm.
them your real world. But I guess it could turn dangerous because you don't really know who's on
mm-hmm.
the other side of the screen.
Exactly.
And especially
mm-hmm.
now we're adults and there's lots of situations where, you know, alcohol and stuff can be used.
Mm-hmm.
Lots
mm-hmm.
of issues can arise from that, especially after everybody is sober and, you know, trying to
mm-hmm.
live life. And sort of noticed more after the fact. So, yeah, there's situations where girls can be, you know, beat up and that kind of thing, especially in college when we're kind of venturing out on our own and away from our parents and that sort of thing. So, there's definitely
so let me
a lot in college.
Let me ask you a question. Were you guys, because I'm on a committee, a prevention education, prevention committee for an organization. And, you know, they work with, I was hoping to have a show with them this month, but it's probably not going to happen. But they work with, you know, kids after school programs. They do go into certain schools and work certain aged kids. Did you ever have any in high school or in middle school, any sort of education about relationships healthy relationships, what's okay, what's not okay. Did you ever have anything like that?
I personally, I have never had anything like that. All I've really had to go off of is personal experience, which I do think there should be more programs like introducing like healthy behavior versus like abusive and toxic behavior, because I really had no idea. I had to go through it myself and just learn.
Yeah, so I agree with you. And I think that we need to, it needs to start at a very young age, but obviously age appropriate. It's just, it's very, very difficult because, you know, there are a lot of young kids that come to school from abusive homes, and they're very scared. School's not always the safest place for them to share, because then outside agencies will get involved. And then children or be in the family space. And then these children will end up being more abused if it's them that's being abused, because they open their mouths. So they have to figure out ways to start bringing education into, I think, starting at the youngest age, where they understand anything about where they start speaking and understanding things on their level about healthiness, abuse, bullying. It's just, it's a very big problem, because schools will not allow, or there won't be funding given for those kind of things from the state, because it violates, you know, it could violate what's going on in somebody's house. So it's really a catch-22, because you can't, We need the education starting at a very young age about what's okay and what's not okay. You know, if somebody's touching you inappropriately, because not all parents are healthy and are doing it and are teaching their children at home. And, you know, and they don't want their kids to get these kind of education, because then their unhealthiness and their truth of what's going on under their roof will come out. So their kids are really silenced. So it's a very big problem, but they have been working in some schools that have been allowing them to come in to talk about healthy relationships, you know, different kinds of areas, as we're having conversation right now, probably to more like high school kids, whether it's after school programs or, and it's very, very broad. It's very basic, you know, they're not getting into it like we are, but the conversation is just, you know, I don't really know the curriculum, but, you know, I feel personally, again, the way to end domestic abuse, domestic violence, unhealthiness, unhealthy relationship, coercive control, which is all other forms of abuse, is through prevention, education, at the youngest age possible and up. That's my personal opinion. Now you're gonna have girls that, you know, have low self-esteem for whatever reason, and they're gonna want attention, and I'm sure you guys see that.
I would say that people should, or the like schools and parents, administrators at schools should start saying or informing children and putting in programs that about relationship abuse and at home abuse. Because in my experience, I have never had the opportunity to talk about that. Not that I needed it, but I know other people that have needed it, but they don't talk to you about that in school, and especially in high school, middle school. Nobody really trusts the school, so they need to make
right.
a lot more. They need to make yeah. so you trust your too.
Yeah, and but unfortunately, if they're minors, then the school has to report it. And like I said, it can end up being a disaster for the family. And then who will they take it out on? It'll be taken out on the child. So it's a really tough situation. You know, they need
my friend here
people meet.
Sorry, keep going.
What did you say?
Say it again. Sorry. I was saying how my freshman year of high school, I went to a private school. And it was a little different for me because they did offer a program that was after school called Teens Against Relationship Abuse. And it was very general knowledge. Like, we did learn
right.
about certain things. But once again, it was made an option. So, like, there was only, like, four
right.
or five of us who went.
And did the parents have to sign off on that?
I believe so. But it was, because it was made an option, like, lots of people really took advantage of the opportunity
right.
that was given, which I think it shouldn't be made an option. I think at some point
right.
everybody should hear about it, just like to teach us, you know, sex ed and that sort of thing.
Right.
But, you know, like, I'm grateful that I went through it. I'm glad that I did it. But I'd say that more people definitely
do you think
could have
it
benefited.
Helped you? Do you think it helped you to some degree
I
to recognize what was okay?
Because it was so general and the types of examples that were used were so, like, basic, I'd say it's a good start, maybe for someone who's in middle
mm-hmm.
school, but not someone who's
mm-hmm.
of high school age, because at that point, you're sort of older and things definitely do get more complicated.
Yeah.
And I think that you should sort of make it so it caters towards the correct age and not be afraid of what could possibly come from it. So
right.
also when you're in high school, you start to realize that you're maturing and you could think that you can handle it by yourself. So people need to make sure that
right.
you have the right person to talk to because, you know, you can't always handle it by yourself.
And there are guidance counselors in school and in college. I guess college, once you're 18, it's confidential. But if you're under 18 and you're in high school and you go to a guidance counselor and you share stuff, they feel you're in danger, they have to report it. And so you, who do you confide in? So it's a very, very difficult situation. There has to be some sort of education. Like I said, it has to start at a young age where there's awareness so that by the time these kids, you know, reach the age, they can start, the prevention starts. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's very frustrating that we, you know, that kids can't be taught things that will potentially save their lives. And instead of protecting the bad people, you know,
That experience with a guidance counselor on my own, I believe I was in about seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
where I went to a guidance counselor because I was struggling with something. And they kind of really blew it out of proportion and didn't take it for what it was. And ultimately, they listened to the adult in the situation rather than the child. So that definitely made me fear therapy and guidance counseling and all that stuff for a while because it was kind of seen as something that could get you in trouble more than help. So I feel like that's what people sort of shy away from it because it's like
right.
we don't really
right.
in a way because their word
right.
kind of all. And even if it may not be exactly what you said, especially since you're at that age, you're kind of like discovering yourself and figuring out, you know, the way things are and the way
You know, like, it just makes it so it's not a safe environment for someone of that age.
Judy, what do we always say in our advocacy? Listen to the kids?
Oh, kids never lie. Never.
Right.
When it comes to something sexual, they're too embarrassed to even talk. So if a kid is saying something, they should never be questioned.
Exactly. Whether it's sexual or verbal, mental, emotional, or physical, if they have the strength to come forward and speak up, they're telling the truth. Always,
yeah.
We always say in our advocacy work, always listen to the kids, because they are not. It's better to believe them and find out later that they lied, if they did, but most likely they didn't, versus not listening, not having them come because they're scared that you're not going to believe them, and you not believe them, and God forbid, thing is happening. I'm going to just read a little bit more here from this. It says, how can someone who is being abused get help? People who are being abused need to get help. Keeping the abuse a secret doesn't protect anyone from being abused. It only makes it more likely that the abuse will continue and possibly affect more people. If you need help right away, call 911. If you or someone you know is being abused, talk to an adult or your friend that you can trust, a family member, trust a teacher, a doctor, school, or religious youth counselor. Many teachers and counselors have training in how to recognize and report abuse. Do you guys believe that there are a lot of teachers that have enough training? Did they recognize something?
Have enough training to recognize?
No. I think their call dropped.
Are you there?
You back? Oh, it said you dropped.
Yeah. Sorry, I disconnected. My bad.
It's okay. I disconnected in the middle of the show.
I thought
that the whole thing would go off. I was freaking out. Okay, I'm just going to rewrite your names in here. Let me give out the number again in case anybody wants to call in. You can call in. You can use a fake name. We're just having chatting here. We'd love to hear from an expert or more teenagers, more young adults. 563-999-3044. We have about another 50 minutes to go. 563-999-3044. And what was my question that I asked? Oh, my God, I'm really losing it.
Have enough training.
Yeah,
that's
do you guys think do you think teachers, have you ever had teachers recognize somebody, whether it was your situation or something was not right with a kid in the class or?
No, even like on like some of like my bad days where I was visibly off, I was never asked if I was okay or if I needed any help with anything or anything like that. So I've never really experienced anything like that or really seen anyone really step up, like staff-wise.
Right. So that was another thing that I had said in this prevention training that we're working on, curriculum that they're working on, is that teachers need to start get more training so they could start seeing signs. Again, the problem is if you're under 18, they have to report anything that you may tell them that puts you in danger. And it's such a catch, like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because like Danny was saying before, that, you know, she opened up and then it bit her in the butt because, the adults came forward and made her look like, she wasn't telling the truth or whatever. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant before?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'd also say that there's, like, a lot of kids in the classroom. So for everybody to sort of get that kind of, you know, individualization or representation, like, it's just not really doable, especially in public school, I'd say. There's just a lot a teacher has to manage in their hour of instruction. So
right, but if you see, you know, I took a training. It was called Safe Talk, I think. And it taught you, we learned different signs to recognize in different scenarios. So if you guys were on campus and you saw somebody sitting by themselves under a tree and, you know, bent over, you know, would you go up to them and say, hey, are you okay? Can I do something for you? It was a training to start recognizing ways to talk to people who were in a bad place or agitated, or to see signs. So, you know, if a teacher is in tuned and they're trained properly, and I'm not a professional. I took this course. It was for free. I took it. I think I even have the books. And it was specifically for teenagers in high school, college, or whatever, to recognize, or even in the park, you know, somebody sitting, the way they're holding themselves, you know, like in the way they're sitting or isolating themselves, and how to handle approaching them. So I don't understand why teachers are not getting these kind of trainings. Now, no, of course, it's a big classroom, but you will witness. An intuned teacher, a caring teacher, will notice when somebody is not, when there's a pattern in how they act, or, you know, if they're normally very outgoing and then all of a sudden they're very withdrawn, things like that. I'm sure you guys can see it in class.
Yes,
no?
Once again, there's like 300 of us in a lecture hall. So like, it's very hard to notice that sort of thing. Especially when there are times where not everybody shows up to lecture or to class, and you don't know everybody in your classroom. Like, it's just impossible. So,
and
I don't know. They make us aware of CAPS and psychological services, and like always on the first day of any class, they always mention that. They bring it up in their syllabus. Definitely something that's helpful. There are many people who have used it, but for people to kind of notice, it's just not really something that's possible. Like, they kind of expect you at this age to know that if there's something wrong with yourself, you can reach out and get help. But it also depends on the
district. If you had the education in high school, right? If you had some sort of education or preparation before you took the leap into the next phase of your life, that would help, right?
I mean, it would definitely help to some extent. For sure. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I just want to point out the fact that if some people really don't really go through things at a young age, so they can't really know when they really need help. But when they're older, it might be harder to notice that, especially if you haven't gone through it at a young age. So I think it is definitely very, very helpful if there was some type of program or anything like that for kids to notice it at a young age.
Right. That's a very good point. I appreciate that you brought that up. It says sometimes people who are being abused by someone at home need to find a safe place to live for a while. It is never easy to have to leave home, but it's important to be protected from more abuse. If you call a helpline, they always will find you a safe place to stay if needed. So, Child Helpline USA is 800-422-4453. And the National Domestic Violence Abuse Line is 800-799-7233. I didn't even look. This is from 2020. It might have changed. I got this off of the internet. Actually, no. Okay. It's printed today. Sorry. Teens Health from NEMOURS. TeensHealth.org. This was abuse, what you need to know. Judy, any input? Anything?
No. On that, no.
These girls are great.
You girls are amazing. You know what? You know what I think? I think the fact that they did this show is going to, I was telling Bailey that I did a show on The Lore of a Narcissist. It was about my narcissistic terror that I had go on. And I didn't realize how many people listened to it, reached out to me. And then Bailey was sharing about how many people listened. So I really feel that you guys did this, and it's going to make more people come forward and want to speak about this. So, I think this show is going to get so many people listening, and probably there's people that dialed in tonight that you don't even realize are listening. So,
and
but
not
I definitely
necessarily dialed in. If somebody dials in, I could see. It's
not dialed
it's,
in, but they're listening.
They're listening. They right. Actually, my son is listening right now. Hi, little boy. Hi, little guy. he's 18, but he's still my baby. He's always going to be my baby.
Always.
So then there's another topic. Am I in a healthy relationship? He said, stop, you're making me blush. Danny, is that him or what?
Sorry, say that again?
Jay is listening.
Hey, Jay.
So I just said he's always going to be my little boy. He said, he texted me, he said, stop, you're making me blush. Am I in a healthy relationship? It feels like love, but is it? So, you know, when you guys say you're in love, you've been in love, I don't think even some adults know what real love is.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. There's obsession. There's control.
And then there's narcissistic.
the narcissistic tendencies. We won't even get into all of those. But, you know, do you guys ever really believe you were really in love? Do you know what love is?
I would say yes, I have. More as I've grown older, my, you know, latest relationships, I say, yeah, I have been.
Okay. So what makes a healthy relationship? Hopefully you and your significant other. Tell me, what makes a healthy relationship?
Well, I would say since, you know, my last relationship, like, we never argued. We always kind of, like, had the same
point
of view on a lot of stuff.
But that's not necessarily healthy. That's not necessarily
I
healthy.
Because the reason why we broke up is because we, you know, we didn't really have any, like, issues. So, you know, it was kind of boring, which is kind of one of the reasons why I ended the relationship. Yeah, I know, it sounds silly, but, you know, now that I've been in, I'm in a relationship.
But that's not necessarily a healthy relationship.
Yeah, yeah. But I would say it was my most, it was my healthiest relationship. I wasn't in any, you know, drama.
But it was boring.
Which is why I would say that it wasn't a completely healthy relationship, but I have seen the most healthy aspects in that relationship.
Okay. So that's I like that. So,
yeah, you know, it's
Summer,
how I should be treated.
So I'm going to go through what makes a healthy relationship. Mutual respect. Okay. That is number one. Does he or she get how great you are and why? Make sure your BF or GF is into you for who you are. Does your partner listen when you say you're not comfortable with doing something and then back off right away? Respect and relationship means that each person values the other and understands and would never challenge the other person's boundaries. I don't think I ever had this in a marriage or a relationship. And I could be your mom's. I could be your mom.
You're everybody's mom.
What?
I said you're everybody's mom, even mine.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, I'm saying to these kids, you know, I don't think I ever had that in my life, and it's sad, you know, but it's very important to understand what is a healthy relationship and respect, a mutual respect. If you have a mutual respect for each other, you are going to be all these things, you know, you're going to be all these things. I'm going to repeat them, okay? Respect in a relationship means that each person values the other and understands and would never challenge the other person's boundaries. They would listen when you say you're not comfortable doing something and then back off right away. So that's number one, okay? Never talk yourself. If you have to start making excuses, well, he does this but doesn't do that, then that's not mutual respect. That's not healthy. What do you guys have to say?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust. I think each and every one of you mentioned a relationship where there was trust issues, right? In
yeah.
one of your relationships or more.
Yes, definitely.
Michelle, Nicole, yeah?
Yes.
You're talking with a guy from French class. French class. I love how they use French. And your boyfriend walks by. Does he completely lose his cool or keep walking because he knows you'd never cheat on him? It's okay to get a little jealous sometimes. Jealousy is a natural emotion. But how a person reacts when feeling jealous is what matters. There's no way you can have a healthy relationship if you don't trust each other. And this is something that it's instilled in you at home and from a young age. You trust your parents or you don't. It's stuff you witness at home. You know, trust is earned, not given. So a lot of people don't trust their parents because their parents are not healthy people and they have not earned their children's trust. And that's really sad. So this is stuff you learn at a young age. You see respect, you see mutual respect at home. You most likely will be more inclined to know when, or right away, when a relationship is not healthy. Because you know what you've seen at home. Now, if you don't see healthiness at home, you probably will not know healthiness. Again, same with trust, honesty. This one goes hand in hand with trust because it's tough to trust someone if they're not honest. Being honest, have you ever caught your girlfriend in a major? I love how they say girlfriend. Have you ever caught your girlfriend or boyfriend in a major lie? Like she or he told you that she or he had to work on Friday, but it turned out she or he was at the movies with her friends. The next time she says or he says she has to work, you'll have a lot more trouble believing him or her, and the trust will be on a shaky ground. Right? You guys can relate to that, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. And it's amazing, like, you guys are only 18 years old, and it's cool that you guys know what's okay and what's not okay.
Yeah.
At this point. Maybe because you started a relationship so young. Michelle and Nicole's case, I would say, they know what's healthy because they come from healthy homes. They know what's not healthy because they've learned it through being in unhealthy relationships and knowing what's healthy because at home they see healthiness. In Danny's situation, whether some of it was that class that she took or seeing the unhealthiness and recognizing the unhealthiness at home made her more aware of what is unhealthy in a relationship. Yes?
Yeah, for sure. Because I also come from it's a generational thing. Like I saw it in my grandparents' relationship also ended in divorce. And there was also lots of abuse within their relationships. So, like, you could really see the generational.
Right. But not everybody will recognize that. Not everybody even knows what generational abuse is. So, what you want to explain?
Yeah, so my grandparents are actually from the former Soviet Union, and over there, abuse was so normalized that it wasn't even seen as abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of situations in which my grandmother was hit or yelled at or scared but it was like seen as a normal thing, and they didn't really believe in divorce. It was a much like the times were just different. And it wasn't until they moved to America in which they were actually exposed to these kinds of regulations that were meant to keep people safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they ultimately decided to get a divorce. It's when their kids kind of grew older and they no longer had to raise them together, which I think ultimately is a healthier thing than living together and like using each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something that is seen throughout the generation, even though obviously my parents, like, they don't have a healthy relationship either, but nobody's like physically abusive. So I guess it's a step in the right direction. But
no, because emotional, mental, verbal manipulation is worse than physical abuse.
So
it's a trauma that stays with you for life.
It sure does.
So your mom has repeated the cycle of abuse by staying in an unhealthy relationship, unhealthy marriage. And she could potentially lend it on to you. But I always say you're going to break that cycle, right?
I am going to break the cycle. But, you know, the thing with my mom is she doesn't see it. Like, she doesn't realize that she's in an unhealthy relationship.
If she sees it and she's trauma bonded and she's codependent, she doesn't know how to live. She wouldn't even know where to begin or she's scared. You don't know.
She
could be living in fear, and she just goes along.
I think she actually doesn't see it, because I've asked her questions about it in the past, and she just genuinely does not see it, completely blindsided by it. Because from what she saw from her parents, what she's in is, like, considered not bad to her.
But your grandmother, her mother, recognized she was in an abusive marriage and got divorced, and your mother's watching
this 25 years later.
But
after
she still got divorced.
After her kids, after her kids were adults.
But your mother had to have seen it and realized her mother got divorced because of abuse. And if she is in the same kind of relationship, she's looking at it as normal?
Well, it's because the abuse she saw was more physical.
Mm.
My grandfather would hit my grandmother.
Okay.
Like, beat her physically.
That's the biggest misconception. So, and I hope that you guys know that. Mental, emotional, verbal manipulation, control, it all falls under the category of coercive control, which is the worst kind of abuse. It could be financial, it could be sexual, physical. That kind of abuse goes into your head. Your mother doesn't even realize that she's an abused woman. It took me 21 years to realize I was an abused woman, because it didn't become physical to the end. So, you know, when we're brainwashed, it's brainwashing. We're very dependent on these people. They literally know how to play us, and it's what you're seeing at home. Okay, let's go. Support. It's not just in bad times that your partner should support you. Some people are great when your whole world is falling apart, but not interested in hearing about the good things in your life. In a healthy relationship, your significant other is there with a shoulder to cry on when you find out your parents are getting divorced, and to celebrate with you when you get the lead in the play. So whoever's in a relationship right now, I hope so far you can check mutual respect, trust, honesty, and support. Yes?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Good. I heard three.
Good. What?
So, you know what I have to say? I'm going to admit something on this show, that we're all a work in progress. And in listening to all you girls, I realize that there are still things that I need to work on, boundaries of myself as a grown woman. As I listened to each one of you speak, I got something from you guys. So I want to thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I was supposed to admit it, but I really had to.
It's true. I'm impressed. We had another caller. Whoever just called in, please call back. I just noticed that there was a caller. I didn't mean to not, my computer goes in and out. I don't know why. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call back. Separate identities. So in healthy relationships, especially when you're young, everyone needs to make compromises. But that doesn't mean you should feel like you're losing out on being yourself. When you start going out, you both had your own lives, families, friends, interests, and hobbies prior, and that shouldn't change. Neither of you should have to pretend to like something you don't, or give up seeing your friends, or drop out of activities you love. And you should also feel free to keep developing new talents or interests, making new friends, and moving forward. So, and this is, goes for adults too. And unhealthy relationships, people that will that want to control you, they will isolate you from other people. And it's about what they like to do, not what you like to do, which I'm sure, since all three of you have been in unhealthy relationships, have experienced, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's usually about catering to them.
Right. So.
In a way, it's easier making them mad, which I know is bad mentality to think, which is what I thought when I was younger. But as you get older, you sort of realize, like, why did I sacrifice myself for this person? And
you know,
it wasn't worth
I'm very curious to know. I'm sure you see girls and guys out there, like you said, the toxicity has become normalized and certain behaviors have become normalized. So there are many girls or guys out there still, you know, in that vicious cycle of abuse in their lives. And you see this in college.
For sure. Like, toxic, like, hookup culture is on the rise. It's definitely something.
Why do you think, and I'm sure you know personally some of these people, right?
For sure.
So how would you see yourself, you know, like how come you guys happen to be, you know, see it for what it is and these girls are not, or they don't care? Like, what do you see in these girls or guys in these situations that are making them do these things?
I think a lot of girls that are in toxic relationships stay in toxic relationships because of the fact that it's toxic. People get entertainment out of it. And personally, I've experienced that as well. It's just, you know.
You think it's entertainment, or it's a form of codependency, and they're trauma bonded to these people?
No, like, a lot of these girls definitely know that it's toxic. They definitely know.
Really?
Yes, for sure. I don't think, like, it's just so normalized that it's like, okay, well, I know it's toxic, but this is just, like, what it is kind of thing. Like, I'm in college and it's kind of supposed to be this way for the time being. Like, also with hookup culture, like, we definitely see that there's definitely a decline in romance and, like, normal dating. It's more like, oh, we don't want anything serious, but we, like, still want to, like, hook up and do stuff and that kind of thing. And it just makes, like, it's just not a great environment to be in. Like, dating is just not what it used to be. It's not one of those, you know, go out on a dinner, or it's just not like that anymore. Like, and it's unfortunate and sad, but you either, I don't know, take part of it or you don't. And in a way, both sides make you look bad, because if you're taking part of it, well, then you're seen as, like, a whore or a slut. But if you're not taking part of it, then it's like you're a prude, so.
And you have to say, too friggin' bad, I'll be a prude. I'd rather be healthy and stick to healthy situations and not put myself in a situation where I can potentially be in a cycle of abuse or get hurt.
Which there's a lot of times where I find myself declining or saying no, and a lot of the times the guy does try to make you feel bad for it, but
never feel bad.
You just tell them, like, look, I'm not like that. I don't do that kind of thing. Like,
Good.
If you don't,
and
you
that
don't
makes
like it,
that and proud. Be proud that you have the guts to say no. This is not for me. Don't ever feel bad. Ever. Because that's what they're trying to do. You know? Unhealthy people are going
to
make you feel bad or guilty.
And you know what's crazy? It's like it happens in with the with teenagers, but it also happens with us grown adults.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't, this is what I say. If you're an adult and you've been if, let's say myself, for instance, if I didn't get the help I got, I would continue going into unhealthy situations. But I got the help, and now I see all the signs of the unhealthiness. And I'm so glad to see that these girls, you know, not that I'm for young 15-year-old dating. I think at 15 you should be still a baby, still a kid, still enjoying your, you know, I'm so glad I didn't have daughters. You know, besides the fact that they probably have major daddy issues, you know, I'm so glad to see that there are girls out there that are aware and know what's unhealthy and are recognizing signs and putting up the boundaries, setting the boundaries. You guys really are incredible. I'm so impressed. And, you know, maybe you guys can start a club. You know, in college, some sort of club of, you know, I don't know what it would be called, but, you know, to bring awareness about teen dating violence and healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. I don't know what you would call it, but maybe a sorority, you know, as a sorority, you may be able to start speaking up and, you know, helping these other girls break the cycle of or, you know, show them that there is other ways to be in a relationship or, you know, or that they should get help. Because, you know, if we don't get help, we grow into adults, traumatized adults, and we just keep continuing that cycle or generational abuse. And, we, you know, you guys are our future. That's how I look at my kids. You know, you and you guys are even younger. You're the future, and you guys have to break the cycle of this unhealthiness, because we need to have healthy people in this world, you know, running for president and in the government and being nurses and being lawyers, anything that you plan to be. We need healthy, good adults because there's so much unhealthiness. And like Judy was saying, you know, we could be your mom. And, you know, we have experienced or still experience unhealthiness or see it in other people in our age group. So, you know, a lot of people that are in the 30s, 40s, 50s are not able. It's hard to change when you're much older, when you're so used to when you're so used to such unhealthiness, it's very hard to break that cycle when you're older, which is why we have so much unhealthy people in this world and many bad people. Abusive people are bad people. We have a little bit more time. So fairness and equality. You need to have give and take in a relationship. Do you take turns choosing which new movie you're going to see as a couple? Do you hang out with your partner's friends as often as you hang out with yours? You'll know if it isn't a pretty fair balance. Things get bad really fast when a relationship turns into a power struggle with one person fighting to get his or her way all the time. So those of you that are dating, Nicole and Michelle, do you feel that there is equality in your relationships?
I would say for the most part, yeah. I mean, there are disagreements here and there, but yeah, I would say for the most part, there's equality for me, or at least.
For you, but not necessarily for him?
No, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Separate identities. Did I go over that before? No. In a healthy relationship, everyone needs to make compromises, but that doesn't mean you should feel like you're losing out. Did I go over this? Did we do this one? I think we did.
Yeah, you went over that. Yeah.
We did. Good communication. Can you talk to each other and share feelings that are important to you? Don't keep feelings bottled up because you're afraid it's not what your boyfriend or girlfriend wants to hear. And if you need some time to think about something through before you're ready to talk about it, the right person will give you the space to do that. So that's a healthy relationship. What's an unhealthy relationship? Well, basically we know. A relationship is unhealthy when it involves mean, disrespectful, controlling, or abusive behavior. Some people live in homes with parents who fight a lot, abuse each other, emotionally, verbally, or physically. For some people who have grown up around this kind of behavior, it can almost seem normal, and that is not okay. Many of us learn from watching and imitating the people close to us, which is what I said before. So someone who has lived around violent or disrespectful behavior may not have learned how to treat others with kindness and respect and to expect this and with kindness and respect or how to expect the same treatment. Qualities like kindness and respect are absolute requirements for a healthy relationship. Someone who doesn't yet have this part down may need to work on it with a trained therapist before he or she is ready for a relationship. Also, another thing is if you don't love yourself, this is something I struggle with sometimes, you can't love someone else. Uh-huh. So if you have some sort of voids or issues with yourself, it's impossible to have a healthy relationship with someone else. You must know that you're enough. You must love yourself, and you know, I know for teenage girls, most teenage girls, these are big struggles. Do you see that in the girls that are the ones in toxic situations? Guys, did you fall asleep on me?
No, we hear. Can you hear us? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? You can hear us?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say that for most girls, it's not even really a self-esteem issue. It's just kind of like a, I don't know. What do you think it is? I don't know. Like, I don't think we really struggle with that, especially like us girls who are in the sorority. It's like we kind of have each other to fall back on. So if any self-esteem issues kind of stay between us, and we don't really, like, project that on the outside. But it's not, I don't really think it's that. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm talking about the other girls out there that stay in these toxic situations. Do you think it's because they are unhealthy to begin with? or they're coming from homes that are unhealthy? This is what they know?
I'd say maybe it's more of that, that they come from homes that are unhealthy and this is what they know. A lot of these girls like grow up in divorced households, and some of them don't even know who their dad is, and it just really changes their whole perception on what dating should be or how it should be, because then what do they really have to go off of, like what they see in the media or like TV and whatnot.
Right.
So,
again, education is so important. And they, so when you guys start college, do they have any sort of, you said it's in the certain things in the syllabus, but when you start college, like in the beginning, like each semester, each year, whatever, or you're freshman. So did they have any kind of conversation with you guys?
Yeah, they had everybody take like a course about drugs and sex and relationships and I guess like when to say no and that kind of thing.
But a lot of these people don't take it seriously.
Well, you have to take the course. Like, they kind of force you to take it.
No, but I'm saying the girls and guys that are unhealthy people, they're not, they probably don't take that course seriously.
They probably click through it because it's a very long course. I'm not going to lie. A lot of it's very repetitive. But,
well, that's
yeah,
good.
We all have to take it to know about it, consent, all of that. They definitely have us take something like that in the beginning. You have to remember that a lot of us are living in shared quarters and dorms, and a lot of that also, like, you have to be able to reconcile with each other because we're all living in such close vicinity together, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to quickly go over warning signs. When a boyfriend or girlfriend uses verbal insults, mean language, nasty put-downs, gets physical by hitting or slapping, or forces someone into sexual activity, it's a sign of verbal, emotional, physical abuse. Thank you. Ask yourself, does my boyfriend or girlfriend get angry when I don't drop everything for him or her, criticize the way I look or dress, and say I'll never be able to find someone else who would date me, keep me from seeing friends or from talking to other guys or girls, want me to quit an activity even though I love it, ever raise a hand when angry, like he or she is about to hit me, try to force me to go further sexually than I want to. Those are warning signs, red flags. Those aren't the only questions you can ask yourself. If you can think of any way in which your boyfriend or girlfriend is trying to control you, make you feel bad about yourself, isolate you from the rest of the world, or, this is a big one, harm you physically or sexually, then it's time to get out fast. Let a trusted friend or family member know what's going on and make sure you're safe. It can be tempting to make excuses or misinterpret violence, possessiveness, or anger as an expression of love. But even if you know that that person hurting you loves you, it is still unhealthy because it's not real love. It's obsession. It is not, no one deserves to be hit, shoved, or forced into anything they don't want to do. Anybody have any thoughts on the stuff that I've read?
No, we agree with you. Yeah.
So is there a way for you guys to start, as a sorority, to start, you know, bringing more awareness to campus?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, as a sorority, we have people come in and talk to us about all kinds of different things. I feel like if we brought it up, people would definitely listen and take action.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. It makes me really, really happy. Because, you know, in this day and age, there's so much more unhealthiness than there is healthy. Because there's so much more trauma in this world where kids are not getting help at a young age. You know, you're still young, so kids your age can still get help. Your brains are not fully developed. But unfortunately, especially guys, it's hard to accept or admit or to ask for help. And all that happens is they grow into unhealthy adults. And, you know, Judy and I both are single women, and there are not many very healthy men out there. And it sucks.
Oh, my God.
You know, it really sucks. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, you guys are our future. And it makes me happy. Like, I witness a lot of horrific stuff with kids, and I do family court watches, and kids are being given to abusers, and, you know, my kids went through witnessed abuse, which is considered child abuse, and, you know, my biggest hope and what I force immensely is that they continue getting help so they can lead healthy, productive lives. And the same for kids that are in their teens and in college. You know, college, you know, is the place where, you know, a lot of rapes happen that go unreported. You know, so many different really horrible traumas happen on college campuses. And if it's not dealt with, it stays with you. And it's hard to lead a productive life. So before we close out, you know, any of you have anything to say?
We want to thank you for having
final
us.
Words.
It was a great experience.
No, it really was great.
My
talking
pleasure.
About it. Yeah, no, it doesn't, I don't really talk about it a lot, so it definitely was kind of refreshing to just kind of let it out. Yeah, and I want to say...
I'm impressed, yeah.
Sorry, we're grateful that you got to take in information from us and learn something else from us, even though we're so young.
Definitely. No, of course. I mean, you, like I said, you guys are our future, and, you know, we need healthy, young... adults, teenagers, to turn into healthy, you know, adults, and to see that there are some girls like you out there that, and hopefully there's a lot more, and hopefully there are some good guys still out there, that are aware and can do good. Because it's all about the only way we'll ever go about having change, and, you know, bringing awareness is by you guys speaking up, right? This is why I do my show. This is why Judy is out here with me, and we're all over social media doing our advocacy with so many other people, because the only way for change is for people to speak up, educate, you know, we form a community and we keep going and doing our thing. So thank you, Danny, Nicole, Michelle, and thank you, Danny, for getting your crew together. I so, so much appreciate. I'm on every week, usually Tuesday nights. I do have a great lineup coming up next week. Is going to be a great guest Tuesday night. If you can tune in Thursday night, March 8th, I'm going to have an incredible guest. Danny, I'll send you the link. Maybe you can forward it to your friends. You don't have to listen to it that night, but I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to the next couple of shows coming up. Again, thank you, guys. You can always, I'm going to mute you because I'm closing out the show, okay? My pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
It was my pleasure having you guys. Thank you for giving me 2 hours of your night. And Judy, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you.
Always appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
We learned from these three wonderful teenage girls tonight. We really learned a lot. And I'm so excited that we did the show tonight. It's out there. It will be on the nevergiveupshow.com. You click on podcasts, and then there's also directories, all the other platforms that the show is on. It's also on blogtalkradio.com/thenevergiveupshow. So it's out there. It'll be on SoundCloud. I'll post it on SoundCloud, and I will post it wherever I posted the show. Danny, I will send a copy to you so you can re-listen to it if you want or share it with your other friends. Please, guys, if you haven't had a chance to check out my book, Married to an Illusion, A Survivor's Guide, Escaping. See, I don't even know the name of my book. Married to an Illusion, A Survivor's Guide to Identifying and Escaping Narcissistic Abuse. Definitely is educational, and please, Amazon, leave your reviews once you've read it. I would appreciate it. And again, thank you, my guests, my listeners, and please never, ever give up.
Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little uncertainty can bring.